There's a terrible tragedy taking place in America, and it's spreading like a wildfire. Suicide among young people. More than 500,000 teenagers attempt suicide each year. Nearly 2,000 a day. Over 18 a day succeed. Suicide has increased 300% since 1950. The teenage suicide rate in America is the highest of all industrialized nations. And according to the National Education Association, many teenage suicides are linked to depression fueled by fatalistic music and lyrics. Dr. Paul King, medical director of the adolescent program at Charter Lakeside Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, says that more than 80% of the patients he treats are there because of rock music. He adds, the lyrics become a philosophy of life, a religion. Elton John sings, think I'll buy a 44, give them all a surprise, think I'm going to kill myself, cause a little suicide. The nihilistic sing, this method is effective, tried and true, it's the only solution left for you, kill yourself. Kill yourself, it's about time you tried. Kill yourself, it's about time you died. Ken Wooten, investigative reporter for 2020, says, quote, why do we spend billions on advertising? Because people answer the ads. This type of music is a form of advertising. And he said, I've seen kids who have responded to the ads. I've seen them dead on marble slabs. 16-year-old Steve Boucher put a gun to his head, pulled the trigger, and blew his brains out. His parents blamed their son's suicide with his obsession to AC/DC's song, Shoot the Thrill. He was sitting under his AC/DC poster when he, as ACD commanded, pulled the trigger. In February 1986, 18-year-old Philip Morton hung himself from a closet door in Delafield, Wisconsin. Pink Floyd's suicidal album, The Wall, which includes such songs as Waiting for the Worms and Goodbye Cruel World, was playing continuously in the background. Is it just a coincidence that many of these young victims of teenage suicides were devout fans of rock? And many times the last thing the young victims heard were songs advocating death, killing, and destroying themselves. Satan has commanded a vicious attack at the young of this generation. Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. And his number one target is the most vulnerable, the young. The dead Kennedys sing, I kill children, I love to see them die. I kill children, I make their mothers cry. The Bible in Ezekiel chapter 28 describes Satan before his rebellion and eventual fall. Verse 13 says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Tabrets and pipes are musical instruments. Satan himself was prepared with musical instruments. Satan is connected with music, and you'd better believe he knows the awesome power of music. In the book, The Psychology of Music, Dr. Shoan says, quote, music is the most powerful stimulus known among the perceptive processes. Charles Manson, who claimed inspiration from the Beatles, used music to gain satanic control over his followers, who went as far as murder under his command. Art Linkletter blamed secret messages in rock music for the death of his daughter in 1969. Yes, music is an extremely powerful tool, and Satan knows the power of music. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, referring to Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The battle is a battle for the mind. Jessie Penn Lewis, in her classic book, Battle for the Mind, says, quote, "There is a great battle today over the use and control of the mind." She goes on to say, "It is primarily through the mind that Satan holds his captives in his power. The greatest attack Satan ever placed upon the human mind is rock music. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, who Newsweek magazine calls the Lucifer of rock, said years ago, 'We've had their bodies and now we want their minds.' Satan knows if he can capture your mind, he can control you." The Apostle Peter gives a solemn warning in 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." The battle is clear. Satan wants your mind. Rock music is a direct attack for your mind. Anyone who has studied hypnosis knows the key vehicle for hypnosis is repetition. In hypnosis, the subject usually repeats a phrase over and over until their conscious mind is in an hypnotic, suggestive state. While under hypnosis, people have little or no control over their actions. Often, they don't even know what happened. Whatever commanded, they will do. In San Antonio, Texas, a 16-year-old boy, while listening to Pink Floyd's album, The Wall, went into a trance-like state. Without warning, he suddenly jumped up and brutally stabbed his aunt to death. According to the police report, there were no drugs involved, just the music. The boy claimed the music hypnotized him and does not even remember the brutal killing. Satan is using a very powerful and very subtle form of hypnosis to capture the mind of this generation. The key to hypnosis is repetition, and the main ingredient of rock music is repetition. An overwhelming, repetitive, driving beat. That steady, repetitive beat can place the listener's mind into a dangerous state of suggestive hypnosis. And the lyric suggested to the mind goes in without any conscious discernment. And friend, that danger is frightening when one considers the words being fed into that young, impressionable mind. In October 1984, 19-year-old John McCollum shot himself in the head while listening to Ozzy Osbourne sing Suicide Solution. "Evil thoughts and evil doings, cold alone you hang in ruins. Thought that you escaped the reaper, you can't escape the master keeper. Where to hide? Suicide is the only way out," Ozzy sings. He was still wearing the stereo headphones when his body was found. The Institute for Bioacoustics Research, Incorporated, better known as IBAR, was hired to evaluate Suicide Solution. Not surprisingly, they found sublineal lyrics that weren't included in the copyright lead sheet. The sublineal lyrics are sung at 1.5 times the normal rate of speech and are not grasped by the first-time listener. Yet IBAR claims the sublineal lyrics are audible enough that their meaning and true intent becomes clear after being listened to over and over. What were some of the hidden sublineal lyrics? "Why try? Why try? Get the gun and try it. Shoot, shoot, shoot," followed by hideous laughter. But that's not all. IBAR's analysis of Suicide Solution found something else. Hemisync tones, which according to IBAR result from a patented process that uses sound waves to influence an individual's mental state. The tones have been found to increase the rate at which the human brain assimilates and processes information. IBAR alleges that the hemisync tones made 19-year-old John McCollum much more vulnerable to the lyrics sung by Ozzy. The McCollum's attorney says he has received at least 20 phone calls from parents indicating their kids committed suicide, not just listening to rock music, but specifically to Ozzy Osbourne. John McCollum's father said, quote, "They know what they're putting out. The most important thing I've learned is that there are people who are out there trying to make money, and they may have no hesitation to sell your kids down the drain." He continued, You see a perfectly normal kid there who doesn't show any signs of depression at all. Then 6 hours later, he's dead. Nobody can explain it. The only thing we know is that he was listening to this music. Jimi Hendrix, among rock's greatest guitarists, who choked to death on his own vomit in 1970 due to a drug overdose, said, quote, "Atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing of its own. You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get people at the weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say." Homosexual rock star Little Richard said, quote, "Some rock and roll groups stand in a circle and drink cups of blood. Some get on their knees and pray to the devil." Little Richard said, "Rock and roll hypnotizes us and controls our senses." In December 1985, 18-year-old Raymond Belknap and James Vance, after listening to Judas Priest sing Beyond the Realms of Death, climbed out the bedroom window and went to a nearby church playground. Belknap placed a sawed-off shotgun to his head and pulled the trigger and literally blew his head off. As Belknap lay dead on the playground, Vance took his turn. He said, quote, "There was just tons of blood. It was like the gun had grease on it. There was so much blood I could barely handle it. And I reloaded it, and then you know it was my turn. And I readied myself. I was thinking about all there was to live for. So much of life is right before your eyes. And it was like I didn't have any control. My body was compelled to do it. And I went ahead and shot." Vance blew his face away, but miraculously survived the gunshot wound, but slipped into a coma in November 1988 and died a few days later. The bereaved parents brought legal action against Judas Priest. The lawsuit stated, quote, "The suggestive lyrics combined with the continuous beat and rhythmic non-changing intonation of the music combined to induce, encourage, aid, abet, and mesmerize the plaintiff into believing the answer to life was death." According to expert witnesses who analyzed the Judas Priest album, both subliminal messages and backward masking were found. They found the subliminal message, "Do it," at least 6 times. Attorney Keith McKenna said, quote, "They just literally obeyed the commands of the music and the lyrics," end quote. Do you remember Patty Hearst? In February 1974, the Symbionese Liberation Army kidnapped her. Then shortly thereafter, she's helping the SLA rob banks. Do you wonder how they converted her? According to Newsweek magazine, February the 16th, 1976, Dr. William Sargent, Britain's foremost expert on brainwashing, was called in to examine Patty Hearst. His conclusion, quote, "She was a victim of forced conversion or brainwashing. Her nervous system was kept at maximum stress by the continual playing of loud rock music. A person whose nervous system is kept under constant pressure can inhibit and exhibit paradoxical brain activity. Bad becomes good, and good becomes bad," end quote. In other words, according to Dr. Sargent, rock music can so convert the listener that bad actually becomes good and good becomes bad. That's exactly what Satan tries to do. And that explains the awful, often unrational and unnatural behavior among today's youth. No wonder I've had young people, without the least bit of fear or hesitation, look me straight in the eye and say, "Yeah, man, I want to go to hell. I want to go down in hell and party down the flames of hell with Satan." 16-year-old Dennis Bartus of Centerpoint, Texas, told his best friend he planned to meet Satan. He walked to the high school football field carrying his portable cassette player. When he got there, he dropped AC/DC's Highway to Hell in the cassette player, and he hung himself from the goalpost. As AC/DC's Highway to Hell played in the background. There's no rational explanation for such behavior outside of satanic influence. Reporter Tom Gerald on ABC's 2020 said, quote, the satanic message is clear, both in the album covers and in the lyrics, which are reaching impressionable young minds. According to the book Satanism in America, endorsed by the National Criminal Justice Task Force on Occult-Related Ritualistic Crimes, calls hardcore Satanism, quote, the fastest-growing subculture among America's teens. The facts speak loud and clear, friend. Satan, using a very powerful and deadly weapon called rock music, has penetrated and captured the minds of this generation. Young people tell me, oh man, it's not affecting me. I don't worship the devil, man. I'm not going to commit suicide or anything. Man, I just like listening to music, but you know, man, it doesn't affect me. That's not what Dr. Kappas says. Dr. John Kappas, a leading researcher of the mind and hypnosis, started in the early 60s studying the effects of rock music. Dr. Kappas said, quote, we found out that when we had words that were not understandable, but the beat was very, very prominent, it would give people kind of a wild up. They became hypnotized. These were individuals who were essentially walking around in a hypnotic state. Dr. Kappas continued, the things that aren't understood about all these satanic things is how they get the message across to these young people. What you are talking about is what is called waking suggestibility. These are highly suggestible states, easily influencing the young. Any conscious message that goes along with the record will be bought by the listener at that time. There is no defense against the conscious message received at that time. They will take in anything that you suggest at that time because they have no defenses against it. Friend, that is probably the leading authority on rock music in the mind in the world, and he says there is no defense against it. And yet young people continue to say, it doesn't affect me. But experts say it is impossible to listen to rock music and it not affect you. In addition, they claim it affects you without you consciously knowing it. 14-year-old Thomas Sullivan of New Jersey, a fan of Ozzy Osbourne, claimed it didn't affect him either. But on January the 9th, 1988, the small town of Jefferson Township knew better. Tommy Sullivan, your typical all-American 14-year-old boy, became a brutal killer that day. That Saturday night, the sound of the smoke alarm awoke Tommy's father. He got up and discovered a small fire burning in the living room. While he was putting it out, he heard the front door slam. He ran to the window in time to see someone plow the family car into a snowbank, then jump out of the car and run. A few minutes later, he found his wife in the basement, lying in a pool of blood. Her eyes had been gouged out, her cheeks carved off, and her throat brutally slit. We knew immediately who our suspect was, said Detective Hart. On the front seat of the family car, they found a note in Tommy's handwriting addressed to the greatest demons of hell. It included a pledge to kill his family. Tommy had crossed out the pledge, and in parentheses he had added, I have already killed my family. Early the next morning, a neighbor spotted Tommy's shirtless, frozen body in the neighbor's snow-covered backyard. His wrists were slashed and his throat slashed from ear to ear with an intensity that nearly decapitated him. Beside him lay the open Boy Scout knife that he had used to kill his mother and then himself. Mayor Fran Slatington may have put it best when he said, there's just something that's bothering me about this situation. It bothers me that a good kid like that can do what he did. Tommy's father said all week his son had been singing a rock song about blood and killing your mother. Young person, you hear me and you hear me well. Satan wants you. He wants to destroy you and he wants to damn your soul in hell. These rock stars, they're not your friends. They're being used as pawns by Satan to put out his gospel of damnation, and young people, he'll damn you and destroy you if he can. But the Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Young person, Satan wants to destroy you, but Jesus Christ promised you life and happiness. Well, what will it be? Heaven or hell? God or the devil? Jesus or Satan? Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me." When you say no to Jesus, you say yes to Satan. You say, "Yes, Satan, I'm yours. Take me." And my friend, that's a very serious, serious thing to do. If you've never been saved, why don't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ this very minute? You'll never regret it. Why don't you just bow your head and simple faith, pray this simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. "Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and unless you save me, I'm lost forever. I come to you now the best way I know how and ask you to save me. I now receive you as my Savior and give you control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen."